Hello and welcome to the 9th Patterns of Poetry talk. This is Julian Gerdam from the English Department of St. Columba's College in Dublin in Ireland. Look at our blog sccenglish.ie for lots more. Some topics, such as alliteration in Talk 3, can be reasonably neatly handled in a 5-minute talk. Some, such as imagery, could fill hours. One of the virtues of the strict 5-minute constraint of Audioboo is that you get what one of my colleagues calls a quick bite, and this can focus your mind on the issue, especially in one or two poems. Rhyme is the topic of this 9th talk, and quite obviously I'm not about to cover this comprehensively now, but rather to give you a little morsel to chew over. Once upon a time, as they say, virtually all poetry in English rhymed. In modern times, unrhymed or free verse has become much more widespread, though obviously there are plenty of poets who do use rhyme. I've been banging on throughout these talks on the importance of connecting technique and meaning, of not merely spotting an element or pattern of poetry, but showing how it works and, the key question, why the poet is using it. And today I'm going to use a modern poem, Thomas Kinsella's Mirror in February, to show this. This poem is familiar to generations of Irish men and women, being the final and most recent poem in their school anthology Soundings, and it's back now with many other poems by Kinsella in the Leaving Certificate in 2012. Like all poems in these talks, you can link to it on our blog post. Mirror in February is a poem written by a man confronting, quite literally in the mirror, the reality of his ageing. I towel my shaven jaw, and stop and stare, riveted by a dark, exhausted eye, a dry, down-turning mouth. By the end of the poem, he has to some extent come to terms with this inescapable reality. And I'd like to show you now how one element of the poem, the rhyme scheme, unobtrusively enacts this experience. In each of the 3 stanzas, the rhyme scheme goes like this for the first 6 lines, A-B-A, C-B-C. So in the first stanza, these words rhyme, rain and brain, air and stare, fantasy and eye. And then the 7th line ends, a dry down-turning mouth. So this sound, mouth, has, as it were, nowhere to go. It rhymes with nothing. It's left hanging in a rather lonely way out there on the edge of the stanza, looking around fruitlessly for a partner. The pattern is repeated in the 2nd stanza, where in this case the word Christ doesn't match up with any other word. So overall, the rhyme scheme of those 2 stanzas is A-B-A, C-B-C, D. Now, when you're reading a poem, you're not, I hope, saying to yourself as it moves along, ooh, lovely, interesting rhyme scheme. Rhyme operates at basement level, its effects being largely subconscious. So what effect is Kinsella aiming at in those first 2 stanzas? That last hanging rhyme, or rather non-rhyme, mouth, Christ, is unresolved, and subconsciously at least, reinforces the whole mood and meaning of those stanzas. For Kinsella is writing about disappointment. He reads in the mirror, I have looked my last on youth, and concludes, they are not made whole, that reach the age of Christ. He has not been made whole, and the rhyme scheme of the poem also refuses a satisfactory resolution. And then in the 3rd and final stanza, there is a change. The first 6 lines are like the other 2 stanzas, but the final 4 read like this now. And how should the flesh not quail, that span for span is mutilated more? In slow distaste, I fold my towel with what grace I can, not young and not renewable, but man. He folds his towel with some grace, rather than flinging it into the corner. And now he's about to fold up the poem too. He has come to an understanding, not exactly happily, but he does accept his fate. And the rhyme scheme underscores this with that D hanging word now joining a group, span, can, man. And it's a strong monosyllabic rhyme, can, man, definite and clear. Meaning and technique come together as one. They mirror each other.